Hello and welcome to the B2B Brand. My name is Liam Maroney. I am your host. And on this podcast, I talk to marketing leaders in the tech space about brand marketing. And on this episode, I am joined by Gwen Lafage. She is the VP Marketing for Global Brand and Content at Cinch. Cinch is a customer communications cloud platform. They are a legitimate enterprise technology operating in over 60 countries. And it is an incredibly interesting look into how brand takes shape at a complex organization. It's a great conversation. I'm so glad you've joined us. And let's get into the episode.
Gwen, it's such a pleasure to see you again. How are you doing?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And by the way, congratulations on 3 years at Cinch.
Yeah, thank you. It's a big milestone. And it's kind of nice to look back because we forget what we've done, right? And we so much in the day-to-day that like when I was writing this post, it took me almost a month. I think I posted it on the last day of April and I actually started on the first day of April 3 years ago. But it took me so much to really think about it. I'm like, what are exactly the learning? What I've done in the past 3 years?
It was a great post. Yeah, it was
Thank you.
A nice walk down memory lane. I was like, I got nostalgic for it. It was great.
Yeah, so much happened, right? The company I've been through so much in 3 years. I feel like I've been in three different companies. So
I don't doubt it. Yeah. I think at the best of times, a year in tech feels like about five, but the last 3 to 5 years have been decades in and of themselves.
Exactly. I aged a bit in the past 3 years.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. Well, I am very excited to chat to you today, and it is about a big, hairy topic that, funnily enough, we found ourselves in a LinkedIn comment like 15 minutes before this that was exactly about this topic. But it's all about brand and B2B tech. And I kind of want to start just broadly because I think what I'm finding and a lot of the reasoning for this entire podcast is because brand is, in some cases, unknown in tech. It's misunderstood by leaders and marketers alike. There doesn't feel like tech doesn't do marketing the way that the rest of the world does marketing. And each tech company doesn't do marketing like other tech companies. So there's just this complete mystery when it comes to some of the elements of marketing. And I'm really excited to talk to you because firstly, you're a marketer I admire massively. You also work at a phenomenal brand. You've got a very good title that spotlights really nicely on the topic of this. But I'd love to kind of start with just your thoughts on tech itself and brand when you look at it compared to a traditional entity like CPG. Like, break it down from your point of view. How different, good and bad, is it?
Yeah, I think there is it's fundamentally misunderstood, I think, by a lot of companies. It's just not just in tech, but in B2B in general. I think there was historically not a lot of desire or affinity to brands. Like, oh, that's just for consumer products, right? Consumer products needs a brand. Because you go to the supermarket and you pick based on the brand that you know, and you know your shampoo is that brand, and you pick that, right? So I think there's this association that is made with product we see in a supermarket, and that's why you need a brand. In B2B, there was this fundamental that was, people buy for their companies, and so as companies buy a big product with a lot of money, right, or a big kind of software, but it could also be a B2B product. It costs a lot of money. They have very rational decision about it. There's spreadsheet, and they will go for the price or some of the features. And so historically, B2B marketing has been very much focused on the product and the features. And that has changed, right? That has changed. And I think a lot of companies have understood that there is a need for more than that. And there's been an understanding more or less now that even when you work for a company and you're making that buying decision, you as a buyer, you might not be 100% rational. And I'm, saying not completely irrational, maybe not, but you might not be completely rational either, right? And so I think there's definitely this understanding that the brand play a role into your decision. And it also plays a role at the early stage of the decision. You will not even consider a company you don't know about. So it's first, this kind of awareness piece. And I think brand is often associated with awareness. I mean, I think brand is associated with a lot of different things. It's associated with, like, it's a logo. It's my colors. Oh, it's like people know I exist. It's like my reputation, right? Like, there's a lot of association. And I think that's why it's so complex. It's because it's in all of it. And I see a lot like that. No one in the company, or not one person or one department, really own the brand. It's like it's kind of owned by the audience. And that's why it makes it so hard for people to say, oh, what is brand in a company? Because what you can do is just craft it the way you would want people to see you, and then influence how people see you. So I think there's definitely that misunderstanding of what it is.
I love that you say that, because I think it, you can easily see, just the way you described it, how it could get people to go, oh, well, everything's brand, so therefore nothing is brand. All the employees and how they post on LinkedIn is a reflection of the brand, which it is. And the question is, how much should it be controlled and owned by marketing? And let's be honest, marketing has a bit of a bad reputation historically in the industry as the sort of we want credit for everything, or like we should be involved. And it's not, it doesn't really get a lot of the respect, because it feels like it's trying to reach its arms around everything. But something you said there was really interesting, the like what brand does in the B2B buying process. And I think this is something that's kind of worth a pack, because I think you are right. There's the first assumption, which we know is not true, which they say, oh, well, in CPG, brand is what you buy. It's an emotional decision. But because emotion doesn't factor into the B2B brand, therefore brand doesn't apply. So what, when you think of like the tangible value of brand in a B2B buying decision, beyond I've heard of you and I know you exist, what are the sort of tangible roles it plays?
So, I mean, there's the foundation, I think, first of like when I see each company needs to have like a foundation of what they look and how they talk. So I think those are kind of like important. And what is your story, right? So I also feel like every company in a way has a brand, right? Whether it's a good one or not, or well-known one or not, there is some foundation. When people started to like build a company and they've decided what they want to sell and what they want to produce, like, there is kind of like a brand. And I think like establishing and crafting those foundation is still the role of a brand team. So to me, and that's why there's some confusion between like brand and product marketing, for example, or like what's the value proposition and like what's the narrative, like how do you explain what you do as a company. In smaller tech SaaS companies, often like those value prop are one if you were like selling only one product. You sell a one product and it's like a one SaaS does it all platform, right? Like it went all in one platform, right? Like, so
I have feelings on that.
Yeah. Me too. I like everything is all in one platform. So that all in one platform, like there is definitely how you present it as like what's the narrative and what's the value prop. And I think the value prop, and when you present it from like a functional benefit, I think that's definitely on the product marketing side of thing. But like, to me, the brand adds an extra layer on it that does need to appeal to those emotions that people have, even B2B buyers, because they do have emotion when they buy and they want to have an affinity with that brand, and they want to like feel that there is a connection that goes beyond the product features, especially in SaaS where like, honestly, all the product features are kind of the same. I mean, if you compare two companies in the same kind of like space on the same positioning, you take out the logo and most of the time they just say exactly the same thing. They have the same product features. If they don't have it now, they will add it on when, you know, they copy each other. So if you don't differentiate by the product features, which you rarely do, even if product people will say, oh, we're so different. Nah, not that much. Then I think it's like how you can differentiate by the way you tell your story, the way you explain the problem you solve, the way you like bring that emotional connection with your buyers and become a brand that people want to buy, right? Like they become fan of. So I think that's what the brand team needs to try to craft. And it's complicated because, yes, it does go through what people post on LinkedIn or how you, the receptionist answer the phone and like how the sales team present and the sales pitch deck. And like, so in a way, brand is in everything, but you cannot expect to build a brand by just doing that because it will never really lift it up, right? You might have great consistency, but you will never be, you know, creating that connection if you just do the bare minimum. So
that is so interesting. I have such a reaction to this for the right reasons, because something you, there's a few things you said that I really want to touch on. There's this thing that I hadn't realized until I heard you describe it like this, but it feels like in a lot of ways brand and marketing are sort of decentralized throughout the organization. It's like tech kind of componentized pieces of marketing, like product marketing is about positioning and differentiation and feature sets, sort of like category placement, analyst report, that your founder story sits over here with the founding team. But I think what you said was really important, because like there is this strange belief that as a tech industry that it's differentiate or die. Differentiation is what makes you different. But to your point, firstly, within tech, I think anything you have as a unique feature is going to be copied in 6 months' time inevitably. But that's also true of the rest of the world. Most brands are not that different from one another. It's the brand that is a differentiating feature. And I think that's a moat that I think we don't often think of as like, that's a very tangible form of differentiation.
Yeah. And it's really hard in tech to really define how you differentiate. And I will say it's hard probably also in any type of product, right? How do you differentiate one shampoo versus the other, right? Like, I mean, like they probably very, very, very similar. But like in consumer brand, they've understood that like the affinity is not so much with the product as it is with the brand. And like you buy a brand first most of the time because you trust that brand. You trust that they will put in the market good product. If they say this product is going to be make your hair shiny, then you trust it will make your hair shiny, right? Like, so it's so I think you kind of like trust that brand first. Well, like in tech and in B2B in general, we don't play that card as well. We definitely like focus more on the product differentiation first and the value prop first, which makes it really tricky to define, okay, what is really unique about our narrative and our story? What is this kind of like emotional connection that we want to build with our audience? And I think it's tricky and it's difficult for like B2B tech companies in general to build that story. But I feel to go back to the role of brand, I think there's like several roles, right? On like defining those foundation is definitely one of them. But it's only one of them, right? Like then ensuring that consistency again across, I think is another one. Making sure then you tell that story. So once you have that story, like you tell it and you put it in front of the right people at the right time, you can argue. But like the brand awareness piece and like the brand campaign piece is another one, right? So that what makes it difficult for companies to understand brand because it plays at different levels. And to your point on like marketing in general in SaaS, feeling that, oh, we're so different in SaaS, right? Like we're so different. We don't follow the rules of like marketing. I think it had deserved it. It really was, how to explain this? Like it was not a benefit for tech marketers to think that way, because what they do when they think that way is that they put themselves in a box that they only do promotion. They only do one of, you know, we talked about the 4P, I think before, but they only do like a one part is that you reduce marketing to being like a promotional engine for demand capture, if you want to, you know, use that word, but like you reduce it to that. Well, like, marketing is a lot more than that. If you learn marketing like me, I guess years ago, I'm old now, and I went to school for marketing, right? Like I know there's a lot of people say you don't need to go to school for marketing. I'm like, well, you still learn some foundations on like what marketing is and like understanding the audience, influencing audiences, like having a much bigger role in a way that marketing should could play in a company than just the promotion performance bit, which is a part, but not the whole part, right? And brand sits on that all other part, which is like, it reduces marketing to everything you can measure, which is like really tough when you're like in brand, because every time, how do you measure brand? And it's like, well, it's tough. So
let's go down that path then. How, at Cinch, how do you, like, give me a sense of what the structure internally looks like. Like, is there like the team, and then we'll get to the metrics in a second.
Yeah. So the team, we have a fairly large marketing team compared to, I guess, a lot of startup of scale-ups, right? Like, because we're a fairly large company now. So within the marketing team, there's a central global team and some regional marketing teams. So we have three regions, like Americas, APAC, and EMEA. So there's like those three regions have their own marketing teams, and they are kind of field and local teams, if that makes sense. They don't do only field, they also do like ABM programs, and they also help with some of the customer stories because they're close to the customer, they're close to the local sales team, so they like regional team. And then in the global team, there is brand, comms, there is product marketing, digital, sales enablement, if that makes sense, like, and go-to-market transformation, which is more on the tech marketing ops side of the house, and like, what tech do we need, and like, how do we put that together? I think that's, oh, content and life cycle. I forgot about that. So like, those are also like on the global level, because at Cinch, we have a large portfolio of product, some being sales-led and some being product-led. And again, like how you approach marketing and content and lifecycle and what you need to do from a marketing point of view is quite different when you do enterprise and product-led. So the global team drive the PLG motions, because that's kind of on the global level. And then we work with the region to drive the sales-led enterprise motion that are maybe closer to the ground. So that's how a bit we are like organized. And the brand team, within the brand team, so we have sub-teams. We have a brand design team, if that makes sense. So they establish the foundation and the template and some of the design operation, like what kind of tools we do when building template, Figma, Canva, like how we establish those type of things so that we can empower all the teams in the business to maybe be independent on some of the things they do. So that's one team. Then brand campaigns, and they think more about what are bigger type of thought leadership campaign, research-based papers, getting our own data and like proprietary type of research and build a campaign around that. So they build bigger campaign that are meant to create awareness of the brand Cinch across products. And then there is a multimedia team. So we own multimedia content, which means that we both drive like podcasts for several of our brands, but also we add the multimedia capabilities to like the regions on like putting together a customer stories video that is like well produced and that kind of thing. And then we have content marketers that help with some of the content that is needed both in the campaigns and in some of the day-to-day in the region. So that's kind of like the different team between brand. We also partly own social. I believe social should be in brand, like because I see social as like a brand building tactic or distribution channel in a way, rather than like a lead acquisition one. So we also work a lot with like the content team on like how we approach social.
So much that I want to unpack on this, because what you've just described it, and very phenomenally described, I might add, is a very traditional structure for how an overall sophisticated marketing function should exist. And I use the word traditional as a compliment. I know it's like a pejorative in the tech industry. Traditional means old and antiquated. I mean, like, it follows best practices, clearly. And I know that there'll be a lot of people who listen to this who'll be at companies that are 200 people, 500 people, even 1,000 people, and they'll go, well, you've just described all of the responsibilities I have as one single person. But the difference is that, and this is what I want to get into, is that in those cases, they may have to juggle all of those things, but be measured as the performance marketing activation team. It's those lead acquisition metrics, those short-term ones. How differently, in terms of metrics and timelines and time horizons, are you thinking as a brand team?
So that's a really good question. And what I describe is quite new for us at Sinch. We reorged in January and established this like global, regional, bigger global team, bigger regional team. Before that, we were structured more in business units because we have a large portfolio. We have teams for products rather than like global, central, regional. So it's quite new. So we're trying to figure out a lot of this, like, and especially when it comes to the metrics. The one thing that I don't have in the team is I will say paid media experts. So those either live in the digital team or in the region when they do ABM. So we have like paid media or like performance marketers in a way. Like I will say that they call performance marketers, right? Like we have some in our global team on the digital team, and they really focus on self-serve, on our self-serve funnel, and a lot on search. Well, like in the region, we have like ABM experts, and you need a lot of like ad and paid media to drive ABM, right? Like, so the ABM expert, they're probably more focused on, or they are more focused on like LinkedIn ads or social ads and like display. And like, so we work with them more than on the search team, right? Like we will work with them to kind of drive the brand campaign that we're putting together. But what is new and that we're going to experience with, and that has changed recently, that we'll get more of a paid media budget within brand, so it doesn't get cut by the region when they need to drive more leads, and the first thing they decide is like, oh, let's cut all the brand campaigns, because that doesn't drive the lead. So we kind of like trying to separate the budget and say, okay, this is a brand budget, and we're going to have a media budget within brand that we can use for actual brand awareness and actual brand campaigns. So, but of course, like we work very close with the region where like even when we do campaigns, I call them brand gen campaign, or like LinkedIn call them performance branding. It's like how you make sure that you connect your big emotional story that maybe drive the brand to your functional product stories, and like how they work together and how you connect those. Like maybe, let's say you do a cool buzzworthy or your hopeful buzz video type of content, you connect that back to like maybe a lead gen piece. So, and you can have some ungated, wisgated content, and like all of it should kind of live together. And I will say that brand campaigns and brand programs are not like a 1 month campaign. We're talking here about a 6 months campaign, maybe sometimes a year, or like, here's what we're going to do for a year. And all the other piece that I've done in the business needs to link up to that like umbrella message. So trying to like define what are those pillars that we want to build on throughout the year.
That's really interesting. The budget piece, I love the logic behind it, because it's like, how do we make sure that brand budget doesn't get sort of cannibalized in favor of like, oh, we were short on our number, so like kick that to the side and then put it into a lead gen. Is that coming from any data that supports that when you don't do branding, there's a sort of a lagging effect on there? Is it just a gut feeling that there's a belief this is why? Like, how does that come to be structurally part of the way you operate?
So I will say that this is quite new, but at the same time, before, the way it was done is that the region had budget that they will dedicate to both brand and demand. And so they will define or decide what to do with the content we will provide them and say, oh, it's brand content. Please promote my brand campaign. And in brand campaign, there's also, you mentioned analyst stuff, for example. So analyst reports, that's also kind of brand building or trust building. So we'll say, please, there's this Gartner Magic Quadrant piece that we want you to promote in your region. And we're like, man, the lead's not good from it. I'm like, yeah, but it's we need from a business to promote this piece. And it's not so much about maybe the amount and the volume of lead. And this is very specific to enterprise marketing, right? It's when you try to get large enterprises. So we're trying it differently and thinking instead of having brand beg the region for please put money on my thing, we're just thinking, okay, let's get brand have the budget so that they can promote their own thing. And now there's maybe more pressure on the metrics, but at least we control the output and how much is it, how much we put out there, right? And obviously we want to see how it impacts. We're not there yet, so I cannot tell you if it's been impacting things, I believe it will, obviously. But we don't have a very clear way to measure, but that'll be interesting to hear your side of things, because I know you work with some clients on adding more brands.
And it is that performance branding piece, because that's the bit. And I love that LinkedIn themselves are really heavily evangelizing this as a way of trying to make brand feel less fluffy and intangible. They're calling it performance branding because they're trying to say that it's they're not in the business of generating leads. They're in the business of generating memories, which I think is peak marketing. Good for them.
Yeah.
I like that they're leading from the front on this. I'm that same thing. I think because I've been that marketer, and I think a lot of people have been the ones where you'll say, yeah, listen, the quadrant leads, I know we should be pitching it, but it's the cost per lead is too high. We need more. I'd rather go with the ebooks. It's easy to see how that narrative comes in. And I think it's the truth is, of course, leads that don't have an underpinning of brand support don't really perform any better. Brand is what makes performance marketing work better. They are very much this balance. And kind of on that, I'd love, and obviously without divulging any numbers or anything specific, but what is the ratio of brand budget versus, and I'm sure it changes and it waves, and it should, but I guess first, without even message, what should it be? How would you think in terms of how much to invest? What would be the inputs you would need to say, we need to be putting more over here?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I think I can answer what it should be in my mind. I think it's we've obviously done some budget exercise and I've looked at a lot of benchmark and it said that you should probably put 20% of your budget on brand, which is not, that means that 80% of your budget is not on brand, right? But so 20%. And then I will say that within that budget, you probably want to put at least half of it on the media part. So it's half of your brand budget. And when I say brand budget, it could be the production, the content, all of the delivery, right? The stuff you put together. And then at least half of it should be on media, right? So that you actually promote the stuff that you create. And not just organically, right? Because that goes as far as it can go. But because that's often what happens. It's you create those great stuff and just put it on your LinkedIn page and that's it, right? So I think it needs to kind of go further than that. But I will say that you probably want to start quite small, to be honest. And I'm saying this while I'm brand, but I think you also do want to first show to the business as a marketer in a smaller company, right? If people don't believe on brand, and let's say you're a new CMO coming in, make sure you check the box on the leads and they get off your back, right? Let's make sure that you check the box on performance, that people get off your back, and then you can experiment, right, with some brands start to show results, and the more you experiment, the more you can grow that part. But I think that's maybe a mistake that I will not recommend to anybody, is like thinking, oh, I'm going to do all those brand stuff, like come in as a new marketing person, I do brand, and then you're going to just get let go and in a few months because you've not delivered any results, right? And the business expects kind of like immediate results, and brand is not immediate. So you need to kind of build that slowly. And I think it's important as a brand marketer to like be aware of that, be aware that like it takes time, and that see brand as a multiplier. Of like performance, right? Like, what's the word? Like, yeah.
I've heard that description before, and I love that. That it is the thing that amplifies the other efforts. It's not a separate thing with its own like clear cut metrics that have to exist separately.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's like, I mean, when you see ads, right? Like, you will be more drawn to an ad for a brand that you've seen before. So if you have knowledge of the brand, then like you will click more, and you'll make your performance efforts more efficient. And it's the same with sales, right? Like if you do cold calling and like no one has heard about, hey, I'm calling from Cinch, it's like, who is that? Like the chance that you're going to sell are going to blow, instead of like, oh yeah, I've seen you guys. You're everywhere on LinkedIn. And like, I love your last article about blah. Then yeah, there's like it's a door opener, right? Like, I see it as a door opener, and it's just accelerate sales. So brand is really an accelerator. And I think that's a proof also of like trust. When you hesitate between two brands in the end, right? It's like an accelerator at the beginning. And then when you get to like the conversion point, like, well, I trust this brand. I trust, like, you know, is that cliche saying, or like, you never get fired for buying IBM or whoever it was, like Microsoft, or like, it is still true. We still like try to go for things that we feel we trust. And I think that trust factor, becoming that brand that people trust, is the role of brand. How do you really build that trust? And that's where content play a really big role, right? Like, I believe in content, social, comes like all of those elements are there to build trust in the brand, to make you perceive as the expert. And how do you measure that, right? Like, how do you measure that people trust your brand, except doing like brand awareness surveys, which we do at Cinch, like maybe not as many as we could or should, but we do some of them. We do have a brand awareness challenge, in especially in the US. And we compete with very large brands, or one really large brand, especially. And so I think that's a challenge. And when your competitor has a lot of budgets and presence and is known, you need to kind of be there and gain that trust, right? So yeah, it's a complex. I mean, I think brand is complex because there's still education to do. It's like how, you know, we hear in like in B2B, it's like, oh, marketing doesn't have a seat at the table. We need to like educate, like don't go in a company when they don't believe in marketing, type of stuff. Well, if you keep that mindset when you do brand, you'll not go anywhere, because there's like the amount of like B2B tech company that believe in brand is like very small. So I think I see the role as like an educational one as well. And I think that's a good challenge. It's like, hey, my role is also to educate my company that we do need to build a strong brand.
I totally agree with that. And I think we're also, there's a burden on marketers to educate the marketing community as well, because there are a lot of myths, there are a lot of beliefs about what marketing can and can't do, and how tech is a different type of marketing and doesn't sort of reflect the reality. Even the one that you mentioned is worth talking about, the nobody ever got fired idea. When we talk about emotion in B2B, it's non-trivial to say that, like, when people are looking to buy something on behalf of the company, part of them is looking to make the best decision for the company, and part of them is looking to make sure they don't buy something that doesn't work. So you meet in the middle. So you're going to buy the best thing that you're very sure isn't going to not work. And that's a compromise where you're buying, where trust is trust in the brand that they will do their job, and trust in that they've been doing it for long enough that I'm pretty confident it's not going to break. Because the funny thing is, if you buy Salesforce and Salesforce doesn't work, your boss will blame Salesforce. But if you buy the unknown startup, they blame you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it goes in the sense that like only big companies can have this big brands. And I think that that has shifted, especially with social. And that's why I believe a lot with social, especially for B2B tech, more tech and like sales tech type of like products, is that we as a marketer love brand that we've probably never used. Like, I'm sure you have some examples. Like, what would be like a well-known kind of brand that you see everywhere on LinkedIn and you're like, oh, the day I'm like looking for something like this, I might 100%. Buy this product.
Oh, totally.
Because I've seen it. I see what the marketers are posting. I see like, so I think that's definitely more true for MarTech and
yeah,
SaaS tech.
Yeah, the when like, I grow up as a marketer, I'm going to buy that tool.
Yeah, because there's this ecosystem right on LinkedIn when it's like this bubble. When you're outside of that, I think it's slightly different. But I think there's definitely the possibility to build a brand without being the biggest one, right? Which is like when we say Microsoft or IBM or blah, or Salesforce, like those are like big players. Obviously, if you're a small company, you're not going to be that. But you have tools now with like your workforce, your people, your employees, the content you produce to make it quality enough and like so that people trust that you're have a quality product because you have quality marketing. And I think like there is something there on like making the best possible piece of content, the best possible kind of advice, the best possible kind of quality marketing, because it reflects on your brand. And if you marketing looks crappy, you're like, well, is the product that's crappy? Or like, you know,
really?
It's,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's...
I think that's a great point. And I think it's a good shift where I think content has for a long time, especially in smaller tech, been thought of as a demand gen function because was gated. Now it's sort of the ungated, but it's still thought of as an ungated asset as opposed to a piece of brand content. It's such a different way of positioning the same thing.
Yes. No, exactly. And I think that's like so interesting because I guess in some way we've done that to ourselves in B2B marketing, right? Like we've put ourselves in this corner of being all about demand. Like somehow we shifted stuff way too far, right? Like I think at the beginning or like when I started my career, but like maybe a bit before that especially, marketing was seen as like stickers, PowerPoint, and carrying like the suitcase of the sales guy. But at the same time, they were already doing some branding, right? They were doing like the branding for the event. They were doing like the branding of like the PowerPoint, or like, you know, they were doing some asset that you could consider being kind of like driving or crafting that brand. And then we tilted it all the way back on like, no, we are like a revenue engine. And like we are driving the business, and like we tilted it to the phone where it's like we only do that, which is like we deliver the leads, we deliver like the trials, and forgetting that like at the beginning marketing was actually not just that. Like the core of like the foundation of marketing is not just that promotional piece, right? Like it's all of it. So it's like both of it together. I do believe that marketing is like an investment and drive business, and that, you know, it's there to have an impact 100%, and that people should have a metric and all that. But I do also believe that there's stuff within the marketing team on like foundational that needs to be there. And maybe those activities don't drive a direct number, like defining the narrative, defining the, you know, like all the product marketing stuff, which is also very misunderstood. Actually, I think like product marketing is quite misunderstood in a lot of companies. They're not there just to execute on what the product wants, right? Their strategic function, same as the way I see brand. It's like also a kind of strategic function, but you're not always there.
That's such a wonderful soundbite. I love that. I completely agree with that. The last question I want to ask you on that is, It feels like there is a brand conversation happening now. How much of that do you think is there is a change coming versus this is just another one of those cycles where when the numbers are bad, we talk about things that are other ways of getting there? Does it feel like a real moment? Do you see brand as being, is it finally the brand time in tech?
I would say that it is more than, like, let's say 10 or 15 years ago. I think, like, the whole, like, marketing automation, entrance of marketing automation, right? I think that's what screwed us up. Like, that's what made us, like, you know, thinking about, like, email cadence and leads and stuff. Like, I think that's what changed marketing. And I think now we're understanding that, like, marketing in B2B is not just that. Right. So, but I think that movement has been slowly happening for a while now. I don't think it's that new. I think, like, we've seen it with, like, Slack or, like, even HubSpot, even if they were, like, on the marketing automation and they did the inbound movement, they also do their own event. Like, all of those type of initiative, building a community, like, you know, like, I feel that that's a brand play, right? Like, building a community, defining, trying to build an emotion with your audience, that's a brand play. Like, there's a lot of, like, being active on social, like, making your people, your SME, your trusted person, and doing social selling, and, like, all of that is, like, all coming to the need of building the company as a trusted advisor before people are ready to buy. And to me, that's what brand is also influencing. So I think it's long coming, and I wouldn't say, like, oh, right now everything has changed. I think it was been coming for a little while now. And when we see that, like, yeah, company like Slack is always a good example because they do some cool brand, or they did some cool brand stuff. I mean, Salesforce obviously does a lot of really cool brand activities and campaigns. But those examples are also tricky because they have big budget and they do big campaigns, but you see others, smaller companies, do it in slightly different way with a lot less budget. So I think it's seeing maybe that smaller tech companies are doing it. I know ClickUp, Gong, like some of those, they definitely play the brand game quite well. So I will say it's expanding and showing, like, there's more to B2B marketing than performance.
Oh, I love that. I think that is a wonderful place to leave it. I could talk to you for several hours more, but I want to be respectful of your time. This was such a fascinating conversation. I loved every second of it. Thank you so much for joining.
Great. Thank you. And yeah, I definitely would like to continue the discussion sometimes on how we measure brand, right? I think that might take a whole other episode. Maybe you'll do it with someone that knows how they measure brand. But that's, like, that's always a question we get, right? So, but I think it's so important. And I think, like, the more companies doing it are the successful one, because they are the one that manage to differentiate, not just on their features.
Yeah, 100%. Well, thank you so much for joining. It is always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.